Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Now it is time to assess the offerings coming on our way on the big and small screens this week. I'm joined in studio by writer Henrietta McCurvey and Brian Lloyd from entertainment.ie. Both very, very welcome. First up, Henrietta, you've picked Nope.
Yes,
Nope?
I loved this film when it was in the cinema last year, and it is streaming from the 21st on Sky Cinema and Now. This is Jordan Peele's follow-up to Us, which stars Daniel Kaluuya as a California horse wrangler, called Otis Hayward Jr. and Kiki Palmer as his sister, and they have to defend their family ranch and business from a deadly UFO threat.
You say this is unfairly ignored by the Oscars.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's really beautiful. It's very interesting. I think everything he does, he constructs things for a reason. So everything that's there in it is there for a reason. There's a really fascinating little bit of footage which he uses, which was made by a man called Edward Muybridge. He was a pioneering late 19th century photographer, and it's basically considered to be the first image, the first moving image. So it's the first movie, and it's an unknown black man riding a horse. And the premise of the plot is that this is actually, these people are a descendant of that man. But it's actually saying something about technology, and it's saying something about storytelling and narrative and trying to rewrite where black people are in cinema and trying to recenter them in that original role.
Why do you think when it came out that it went without any awards, nod or even just a tip?
I think people certainly found it maybe a little overcomplicated in places. The UFO threat, which I think is very interesting, it's actually done in quite a lo-fi way. Like, it's not a massively high-tech thing. At times it's very funny. At times it's really terrifying. And I suspect people just couldn't quite land with it, which was it trying to be. And I think it was trying to be all of them.
Some people said it was baffling.
Yes, it is baffling because it isn't trying to resolve every single thing for you. It's setting up mysteries and saying we don't have to solve all these mysteries. Some things are allowed to be inexplicable. But it's beautifully done and beautifully made.
And you're championing it all the way.
I certainly am.
Now, Brian, Renfield, I think it hits the cinemas on Friday. Nicolas Cage as Dracula. I'm just still trying to get my head around that one. Is it worth it just for that casting alone?
Just for that casting alone, unfortunately.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's no, I mean, like, Nicolas Cage, like, he's one of these actors, I think, that is known for playing every role to the absolute hilt, you know, like, anyway, you look at something like Mandy, you look at something even like Bad Lieutenant, the Werner Herzog one, you look at any of his films, really, and he's known for kind of throwing himself at
the screen.
Well,
you can't confuse him for not being afraid to take on challenging characters.
No, not at all. Like, even going back to something like Leaving Las Vegas, you know, that sort of way, he really does kind of give it his all. And even in something like this, which is quite campy and quite funny, like, he does approach it in a very serious way. But I mean, obviously he's playing it like Bela Lugosi, like that whole kind of 1930s Dracula, and he's very, very funny in it.
Why do you not like him?
Well, the problem with it is that, I mean, so the essential story is Renfield is Dracula's manservant, played by Nicholas Hoult. They arrive in New Orleans after Dracula has been defeated again, wouldn't you know it. But Renfield decides that this is the last time he's going to follow Dracula anywhere, that he joins this support group of people who are also being victimized and in toxic relationships. Yeah, again, I mean, the premise, that's the thing. The concept is great. The concept is really funny. Like, the idea of Renfield going into an abusive relationship support group and saying, oh, you know, like, my boss just, he's constantly controlling me. He never lets me out of his sight. And then you realize, actually, no, he's talking about Dracula and all this kind of. The problem with it is that it tries to be five different things at once. It tries to be this, you know, horror caper comedy. Then it tries to be a crime film because there's this whole subplot about this crime boss in New Orleans played by Rob Schwartz, who people would know from Parks and Recreation. And then there's a whole kind of, I suppose, pop psychology kind of thing going on, like, with the fact that Dracula is this abusive partner, if you like. I mean, there's this one scene. Being a vampire, yeah. Like, he's like, as much as he's you know, an actual vampire, he's an emotional vampire. Like, there's a scene in it where Nicholas Hoult confronts him and he says, oh, you know, you were just following me around the place. You know, I'm the victim here. You know, like, it's fun in parts, but the problem of it is that it's trying to be five things at once. And it doesn't really settle long enough on any of them to kind of get
it. As anyone who's familiar, listen to me on this segment, horror as much as reality TV, Henrietta, sort of passed me by. But Scared of the Dark is, yet another reality TV show from Channel 4. What's the premise
yes,
for it?
Yes, does the world need another one? I very much doubt it. Yeah, this is on Channel 4 all week for the 5 episodes. So it's hosted by Danny Dyer, a man who has made a small talent work very hard yes. for him. And the Channel 4 blurb for Ooh. This is 8 famous faces don't just give up the limelight.
Controversial, go on.
But light altogether. And it sounds to me like they came up with the idea. They came up with this line and then reverse engineered a show to match it. So 8 celebrities, including Paul Gascoigne, Scarlett Moffat, Chris Eubank and Chris McCausland, basically go into complete darkness for 8 days. Mm. So that's where they're putting them. And if they have to do these sort of, you know, exercises and challenges, and they get privileges and lose privileges. And now only one of them is blind. And what I thought was actually quite interesting about this, and as Danny Dwyer, there was a really interesting interview with him on Channel 4 about this, who says he's the hero of the piece and he's amazing at helping everybody else. But it does feel to me it's still quite a problematic thing. It feels like it's quite a tone-deaf idea. And I'd be much more interested in a show which followed Chris McCausland around his real life for a week and see what it's like to be a blind person in the world, rather than putting all these other people into what they have decided is the same situation he is in.
Yeah,
and seeing how they struggle
these ideas
or not.
That everybody's sitting around in meetings going, now, what about this? What am I doing for this?
Yeah.
Someone, Brian, Dubner Lee Cronin is being talked about a lot this week because Evil Dead Rise, is it 4th or 5th installment of this, the franchise has become a cult hit. That's fair enough to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it would be. I guess you could say that. Yeah, I mean, I suppose.
Remind us of what it's about for those who don't know.
So essentially what Evil Dead, the franchise is about, it concerns this book of the dead called the Necronomicon that's made of human skin. Already I can see your eyes kind of like just...
Wait, what?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was originally directed by Sam Raimi back in the 80s and it was done in a very over-the-top, excessive punk rock, almost kind of video nasty horrors, you know. Evil Dead Rise is set in modern times. It's, as I said, it's directed by Lee Cronin, set in Los Angeles in this apartment block. A pair of estranged sisters meet up after being separated for a few years due to family issues. One of them is living with her 3 children in this dilapidated apartment that's about to be condemned. An earthquake hits and then one of the kids gets underneath to this underground cavern and discovers this book of the dead, takes it upstairs, kind of starts to read it, and then things get steadily worse where they're infected by the book and start turning into flesh-eating zombies.
But there is a market for this.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it might be me.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, I mean, what I loved about this was that the first 30 minutes of it is this really affecting family drama. Like, you really do kind of connect with these characters. The fact that it's a horror film and it's female-led and they're not being chased around by a man or anything like that, that it does make the effort of trying to get you to connect with these characters on an emotional level. And you could easily watch the remaining 60 minutes of it and have a great time just watching these people interact with each other. But then, of course,
so it's well written.
Very, very well written.
Yeah,
this
thing,
and Lee Cronin wrote it as well. But then, of course, it being Evil Dead Rise, you know, hit the 30-minute mark, they open up the book and start reading it, and then things just go haywire. And I would say it is absolutely insane. It is rated 18s and it absolutely earns that certificate. And IFCO don't really give out 18s all that often, you know, that sort of way. Like, I think this year there's only been about like 2 or 3 films that have been rated 18. This one is absolutely one of them.
Henrietta, The Night Agent on Netflix. For me, it was a much more familiar grind. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, this is good fun. I must say I really enjoy this. So it's 10 episodes currently on Netflix. So it's got good acting. There's loads of kills. There's car chases. There's explosions, shifting allegiances. You know, it's about an FBI agent who basically works a night hotline where operatives out in the field who are in trouble call this line. And he's been sitting there for a year with nothing to do because it never rings. And then, of course, one day it does, luckily for him, and we're off.
Off
and
we
it's
go.
A really good romp, really. Yeah. It's great fun.
And it's doing really, really well. And at least there won't be like all of the secret agents down in Ballina this week all wearing their Mayo hats. Hopefully a little bit more intrigue. Brian, Dead Ringers, Rachel Weisz, I think she's a great actress. Mm. What, if anything, can you tell us, because
it's going to be out on April 21st, but it's been embargoed, which is a shame. Rachel Weisz plays 2 roles, Dr. Beverly and Elliot Mantle. Both of them are gynecological surgeons in New York. This is based on a film from 1988, I want to say, starring Jeremy Irons and Genevieve Bujold. was directed by David Cronenberg. David Cronenberg is known for directing these body horror films like The Fly. He also did Existenz. He did Videodrome. So they're very kind of like austere, but, you know, very gory films. This, interestingly enough, kind of eschews the body horror, if you know that kind of way, and it kind of goes more towards sort of psychological thriller territory. That's not to say that the film, or sorry, the series rather, doesn't have some visceral moments in it. I mean, obviously it's set in a maternity ward, so you're seeing everything. And I mean everything. And for a man, me watching it, it was absolutely horrifying.
I'm going to have to build a wee bridge and get over that,
but
Brian.
This is the thing. I turned to my wife and I was like, oh my God, they cut open the stomach. And she was like, yeah, that happens.
Well, can I ask you both just before? I know it was out last week, but it's being talked about so much this week. And I blame Patrick Freeman from the Irish Times for making me watch it. Obsession.
Terrible. It's so bad.
The reviews of it are pieces of art in and of themselves, but it's doing very well, Henriette.
I can't understand why. We were just talking about this earlier, but
again, another piece that's been adapted quite a lot.
Yeah,
Brian.
It was.
Yes,
it
was a book originally, Damage by Josephine Hart, and then it was the Jeremy Irons movie in the
80s again. Yeah.
But it's an I'd say Patrick Freeman's piece just had me sort of in fits of laughter. But it's the concept should have worked very well, Brian.
I suppose
should
so.
It, maybe?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, but I mean, the reality of it is that, like, the reason it's doing so well, people just love a bit of filth. That's really it. Like, that's it. Just people just love a bit of filth. Like, you know, that kind of way. Anything that looks a little bit racy and a little bit like, ooh, you know, they're all over it. Like, and Netflix knows
it. Does it compare to the prior ones, the Jeremy Irons, the David Cronenberg ones at all?
Not at all. No. This is, like, it's very austere. And, like, it's a shame because it's got a good cast. Like, Richard Armitage, I think, is great. Our own Charlie Murphy, again, great actress. You know,
it just didn't gel.
Didn't gel. I think also as well is the fact that it doesn't necessarily have anything interesting or new to say about either sex or relationships. And it really underwrites one character and overwrites another
character. Well, you can't blame us for not bringing Variety a little bit of BDSM just before we close up for the show for today. To Henriette O'Brien, thank you very much. And that is all we have time for today.